From the great halls of their house, there are assembled three who hope to one day be the world's greatest driving heroes. Created from the cosmic legends of the universe comes our team captain, the Vision, Bill Fisher. Their soon-to-be Wonder Woman, Vicky Fisher. Our Captain Marvel and head flight trainee, Jennifer Scripchuk. And our Batman, the master of tools, gadgets, and all things mechanical, our mild-mannered soon-to-be billionaire, Alan Danvers. Their mission, to fight injustice, share what is right and wrong, to get you out of your house and come out racing with them, and serve all mankind. They are the Garage Heroes in Training Team.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
Miss Vicky.
Yes, sir.
You know what?
What?
You know, I've been thinking about this Sentinel system.
Yeah? Tell me about the Sentinel system.
So what I was thinking was, we have the one car that's got the aim dash that's slowing us down. Because installing the aim dash is actually, it probably is easy, but it's quite hard the first time. And we haven't figured that out yet. The Sentinel system is really easy to set up. So what I was thinking was, why don't we put it in the Lemon's car? And we'll worry about the aim data information separately. And we'll kind of break it down into a project. Because then we'd have the motorsports video system that we really, really want. And we'd be able to stream it. We just won't have the data inside. But we have the data outside, so we can combine them later. But I think that's a really good solution.
So what does this Sentinel system do?
Well, if it had the aim data, it would have all the data on the screen and you could see all their telemetry and everything live. But we'd be able to not only record it for viewing after the race, but we could actually watch our car during the race.
Ooh, like on the monitor and everything?
On a monitor. If you were at home and I was at a track, or if you were at the track and I was at home, you know, depends on who gets the short straw, but we'd be able to watch each other.
You know, it's something I've always wanted to do.
And you know what? If you're driving, you know what you can do on the aim, on the Sentinel system?
What's that?
You can communicate to me with your hands and I can't do a thing about it.
Even better.
So, you know, if you need to give a wave or a jersey wave, whatever you need, we could save it and see it on the screen. And then you can have up to three different cameras and it'll have picture in picture. You'll have the basic main shot out the front window and then two cameras where you put them wherever you want. One could be on the driver or one could be on the rear view. It's kind of cool.
Then we can upload it onto YouTube.
We could. We could bore millions of people on YouTube.
I love it.
All right. Very well. You know what the only downside I see about this?
What?
Your mom and my mom are going to be panic stricken the entire weekend watching this thing to see if everything's going well.
This is true.
We probably shouldn't tell them.
I like the idea of having a Sentinel.
Mm-hmm. Well, luckily we have maybe two. Depends on how things go. We're going to try. All right. That sounds like a plan. That's the project. We got to get that ready for the next race.
Sounds great.
All right. Very well. Thank you, ma'am. Dominating with Dawson is only complete when we have Ben Dawson. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, welcome me. Thanks for having me.
Look at that. We should name this after you.
Yeah, this is something to think about. Just a little bug in your ear, maybe something about Dawson. Man. Dicking around with Dawson, something.
Yeah, I'm thinking we should change your name. If you change your name to Dominating, we'd be set. We wouldn't have to do anything.
Oh, yeah. Let me get down to the courthouse. I'll get back to you.
All right, that'll be good. Hi, this is my husband, Dominating.
I'll be so popular.
We call him Dom. That probably doesn't go well anyway.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to skip. All right, we're moving on.
Cut that.
Back to subject. Mr. Dawson, one thing we have never talked about is if you're on the track and something happens to a car in front of you and it either breaks down or gets into an accident or whatever. What do you think is the best way to do things, and then what do you do?
I mean, that's a kind of a broad potential scenario. You know what I mean?
Sure. Could be thousands of ways.
Yeah, so One of the most harrowing times I've had happen was we were coming out of a big fast sweeper at a local track called NC Car, NCCAR. I think I was riding with my teammate Danielle, and we were coming out of there. So you're coming out of a sweeper, you're going pretty fast. You've been building speed the whole way through the big the big long turn. So we're coming out, and this Porsche 940 front of us completely blows up right in front of us. We were right, probably 10, 15 car lengths behind him, but for a fast part of the track, that's right behind somebody. And this car just completely let go of its engine. Parts showering out the bottom. We can see metal going everywhere. I literally saw the top of a piston fly by in front of us. It was crazy. So all this is happening. And luckily in the moment, Danielle wasn't her first time at the track. She's a pretty seasoned driver at this point. She kind of was like, oh my gosh. And I said, hey, let's just try to get out from behind it, kind of, get on past it. But, see, we didn't want to lose control or make a big steering reaction or, slam on the brakes or anything like that. It's important not to make it a big reaction in a way that can be disruptive for somebody right behind us. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So you kind of want to be cognizant of, I'm going to react to this thing that's happening in front of me in coordination with the fact that I know that there are likely also a bunch of people around me. Because also if somebody's having a problem or slowing down drastically in front of you, you're going to be slowing down too. So things can pile up pretty quickly if it's a crowded run group or race group, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So you don't want to compound the problem by becoming a separate set of problems from somebody else running into you or something like that. Or somebody else slams on brakes reacting to you being stopped on the track, and that causes a problem. It can snowball and make a chain reaction. So ideally, this one person in front of you having a problem stays just a one car person problem, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So in that case, what we were able to do was react appropriately, kind of slow down a little bit to make sure that we didn't run all over this person who was blowing up, but also didn't stay in their shower of juices and parts. Because if an engine lets go or something like that, there could be fuel and things like that getting on the ground. It could hit hot parts on your car. There's just always a risk of driving through a debris and fluid field. So in that particular case, so that's what we're thinking about. But, what are some other ways you've seen people have upset situations on the track, and how did you react to them?
Well, I mean, I was cite, when I think about what I'm going to do if there's a car having a problem in front of me or an accident in front of me, I always follow the world renowned best driver ever, Cole Trickle. And I just aim at the car and floor it. And I find that is a terrible way to do
it. Yes. Yeah. So the idea there, Cole, is that car will be gone by the time you get there.
It'd be gone by the time I get there.
Well, I mean, it is important to think about how is the track going to clean itself? Is the track going to, an angle to the road that's going to help these go one way or the other? But yeah, in general, I never consciously do this, but sometimes, you see a big cloud of dust or smoke off the corner, and it's like, well, I've either got to go a crazy different way or slam on the brakes or just kind of pick a spot and drive into it, hoping for the best. But there's no hard and fast rule about how to miss a car that's having a problem in front of you, except for try to be where they're not. So, if you see them actively spinning and heading and, heading to the left, it's likely fairly safe if the car is trending or heading a different direction.
Yep.
Likely safe to try to take yourself the other way. Yep, you know what I mean? If it's got a big established direction going on, go the other way.
But as I proved at pit race, likely and 100% are far apart. So
I mean, you never know. A car could snap back, another car could hit into you. There's always crap that could happen. But I think one of the things that makes a person a good racer is being able to kind of have a very good predictive analysis of what's going to happen in track.
Right.
And part of that is wrapped all up in this burrito of accident avoidance too, right. Like I see this thing starting to happen, or I see these two cars running together. I know where we're headed on track. This guy's going to probably end up doing that. Like I'm always trying to be thinking a couple of turns ahead, and how's traffic going to be for me at this turn? What am I going to be doing? Who am I going to be trying to pass? But part of that too is, so once you see some cars getting together, maybe you might start thinking about, oh, if this, then this. Like if these guys get together, one of them really botches this corner and gets really slow trying to make the pass. There could be a number of scenarios that aren't necessarily failure scenarios that you're thinking about, but just always trying to think about what's likely to happen here. Where am I going to be? You know what I mean? And that includes an accident or upset situation for me too.
Yeah, 100%. I think that the things that I always do is, you know how you can get the car body language and you can just you can see something and you know this isn't going to go well, or that car doesn't see that car. So I always try to assess the front, and I do a full mirror check because I want to know what I got to deal with that's behind me. Right. And then, you know, that gives me my degrees of freedom. You know, if I'm in a pack of 10 cars and there's something going on in front of me, I've got a whole lot less than if there's nobody around me and I can choose. And then I always try to err on the side, because we aren't making the mortgage from this. So I'll try to err on the side of minimum inputs, meaning try to keep the car straightish if possible, try to keep the car neutral speed to slight braking if needed, but no heavy inputs, because you never know what kind of juices are putting down on the car in front. If it's, you know, lost its radiator, you know, it's supposed to be water, but it never drives like it's water. So I just want to be careful. And, you know, the big goal for me, the primary goal, especially for endurance racing, is to live for another lap. So, if I have to blow a 10 seconds on a turn, okay, I've got a 15-hour race. I could care less about 10 seconds until the last.
It's so much better than wrecking too, right?
It is. So much easier to fix sheet metal that's not needing to be fixed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's the hard part for me is sometimes you see the car and it just, sometimes the car in front will do something that it seems like race cars have their own laws of physics sometimes. Like, you know, things momentum will lead them off to the left and somehow they go right or vice versa. And it's just like,
well, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know, there's always the adage about 2 feet in, if you're out of control, if you're driving a car with a manual transmission, that, you know, that takes the drive line out of play and just lets you and the car come to a rest without the drive line coming into play. And then when a driver does something like, I'm going to ignore that and try to drive my way out of this,
I can catch
situation,
it.
Yeah. You know, then they might come shooting back across the track when the tires kind of find purchase. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We saw my dad, now we're at a NASA event years ago. I was probably like a, you know, DE, maybe advanced DE driver at this point. So this is a long time ago. But I was in a pretty fast run group, and there's this guy with a hot rod Mini Cooper out there. So front wheel drive, and we're coming out of turn three at VIR, of course. And this guy somehow loses it, like is starting to loop it. So turn three, you're turning to the left, and he somehow loops it. And instead of trying to just, you know, take the loss and put the clutch in and let the car roll backwards, he tries to nail it. And the front wheel drive hooks up on this Mini Cooper S with already like a hot engine. And he just shoots over straight to the left from like losing it, you know, the back end coming around. He shoots over and he goes clanging right into the green jersey barrier wall, right past the last Bela tires he could have hit. And he just went wailing on it. And this guy was such a jerk. He was trying to pay the tow truck guys to, hey, they tow me up by the road so I can call my insurance and get it claimed as a road accident.
Wow.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, I'm going to haul you right outside the gates of VIR and then let you call your insurance. Like, that's great for their business, you know? Yeah. So then my dad saw this guy at the track a couple of years later, the same guy. He's just trying to be a friendly dad. He's like, oh, hey, didn't we see you a couple of years ago here on the Mini Cooper? And the guy was like, you did not.
why's this Mini Cooper got these green marks on it?
Oh, he was so sensitive about it, I guess. But anyway, yes, you want to avoid the people having accidents like that. And I'm pretty sure when that guy was spinning his Mini Cooper, I was behind him. I just kind of saw it happen. So, well, he's headed way over to that wall, so I got plenty of time to get by. And one thing to think about, I think it's important. I'm just saying this just as much to remind myself, because we all like to slow down and see what happened, right? We want to know what happened. I want to know as much about it as possible.
Rubbernecking on the racetrack?
So, you know, it's something I'm certainly guilty of on the street, but I also have to remind myself, if there's something bad happening, it's not an invitation to hang around and see what it is. Like, if you see the opportunity to scoot on by, you'll find out what happened the next lap. They'll probably still be there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So there's no, you don't have any obligation to slow your car down to see if the person's going to be all right. That's not your job. you're right. Your main obligation is to clear the track either in front of or behind the person. You know, if it's something where it's an extreme emergency and the car's upside down, you have the time to slow to a stop because you know it's going to be a red flag or if there's fire. It's probably okay, but still, you know, unless you see a red flag, don't stop your car. Still, you need to roll by the bad accident if it's safe to do so, and go ahead and get yourself past it as quickly as you can, because whatever it is, likely that somebody else is going to need to be there. That's not you and your race car. If it's something that's bad enough, they're going to need to get EV emergency vehicles in there, that sort of thing. So don't hang around and see what happens. Don't try to jump out and help anybody or anything like that. That's a big caveat.
Yeah, especially if the car is still moving, because you're just one more thing they can hit.
Yeah. So anyhow, I think the biggest thing about accident avoidance is trying to have a good predictive head in traffic. You know, you kind of want to get your sea legs out there and be good at reading body language. And the idea when we talk about reading body language, this is something that you don't just learn on the racetrack. You just need to get intuitive with the way people kind of shift and move their cars. A lot of times people's car will move a little bit with their shoulders as they turn to look one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You can see that all the time on the interstate. So you can tell what somebody's about to try to do or what somebody's thinking about doing. You can hone those skills just right around the interstate as much and effectively as in racetrack. You're just taking what you kind of know from the street, and looking at how somebody's doing on the racetrack, even if they haven't jumped that lane over to make this move or whatever. You can see him tend in one direction or another and think like, well, I was going to put my car there, but this guy obviously thinks he's going to stick his car there. You know, sometimes you're thinking a few moves ahead, just gauging on what somebody's likely to want to do or think they can get away with, you know. So that's part of accident avoidance too, is being very predictive. And then once you see a situation likely coming up, you know, unless it's somebody blowing the engine or something like that, but if it's a driving failure or you know, getting around the track kind of failure, sometimes you'll be able to tell us it's likely to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, especially when you can tell the car in front of you has no idea that you're there.
Right.
You know,
sure.
It's just like, I know I can pass you. I know I can pass you on the inside of this turn and it's totally fine, but you have zero idea that I'm here. So I'll wait.
Right. Yeah. You know, and something else to think about that brought to my mind was the idea of incidents that are brought on by you catching them. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
So this is just as much a DE potential pitfall as a racing potential pitfall, I think. But there's certainly a factor if you get in somebody's head. Like you get in their head pretty bad when you're running up on them to pass them. You know, if it's somebody who just doesn't think they should get passed or doesn't want to give up the position in a race or just in a DE, maybe they're just surprised that they're getting passed, don't think that somebody can do it or so whatever the reason is. But you know, once you pull up behind somebody, sometimes the intention is to try like, I'm going to try to keep this person behind me because I think I'm faster,
right?
Regardless of the fact that they just drove up to you from nowhere and are ready to pass you. But still, I understand the instinct. We all get the thing like, oh, maybe I was slack, let me jump on and see if I can stay with this guy or keep him behind me. Sure. Mm-hmm. It's fine. We all paid our money, no harm, no foul. But something to be aware of there is with that tendency to go harder and keep the car that's faster behind you, that driver that's trying to do that in the short time that you're going to be behind them, because it won't be long, they'll either mess themselves up or get past. During that time while you caught them and you're still behind them, they're going to be pushing their car and their talent further than they were when you were on the way to the back door to their back bumper. So that's a situation where you might start thinking, oh, this guy's not going to roll over and let the pass happen. He's trying to fight it. So I need to be extra aware of potential incident coming up. Just like if you're seeing gas sloshing out of somebody's race car, you're like, hey, I need to be ready for a potential slippery situation behind this car. Or if you see a car pushing white smoke, like, I need to be ready for this car to potentially blow up in front of me. You know, so there are times where you can see a problem coming and be making a plan for it, whether it's a person you're catching overdriving. You're like, oh, I'm just going to wait for them to lock the brakes up, and then I'll just go by when they're, you know, in an irrelevant part of the track to where I need to be while they're sliding the brakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And then the one thing you reminded me was the occasionally early HPDE levels, you'll get caught up to a car in front of you, and they will stop looking out the front windshield and only look in the mirror.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, you're totally living in their head. That's all they can do.
Right. And they will literally drive straight into a wall.
Yeah.
Because they're not looking forward. They're looking behind. And it's the scariest thing ever. So if you are following, especially if it's fairly early, lower levels, HPDEs, be careful. Don't just follow the car in front of you because you will drive into the same wall with them, which is a bad day.
Yeah, that's a good point. There are certainly times where I've been in the car with a DE student and had to say, like, you know, we run up on somebody to catch them at a fairly quick rate. The student's doing well. And I'll have to say, whoa, back off. They can't tell you're there, you know, or they can tell you there. They're going to let you go. You don't need to be right behind them because it's just they're likely to mess up and put us in trouble. So that's all. Don't worry. This is going to happen. Let's give them some space.
Yeah. I mean, if the worst thing that happens is you get to stay behind them and they don't give you a point by, because usually there's going to be point buys at that level, and you just get to practice your line, that's still a good trip on the track, and you can always stop and get space if you want to. So getting mad isn't going to help anybody.
And also, yes, I say that, but I should also be clear. That's advice for one situation.
Right.
I will also clearly say, I have told a student, get right up on that motherfucker. We're passing him this time. So, you know. It's sometimes it's just different situations require different actions.
This is true.
So but I think what else pops to mind for you about the science of accident avoidance and upset conditions on track? How to stay away from them? How to not get entangled?
Well, I mean, my priority is always don't make it bigger. You know, if there's one car getting into problems up front, let's keep it at one car. If there's two cars having a problem up front, let's keep it at two cars. And not start the chain event. You know, if something goes bad for one car or two cars, let's limit it to that. And if that requires, you know, specific avoidances, I mean, if there's cars behind me and I see this happening, you cannot measure the amount of time it takes for me to get my left arm out and start waving people like,
right.
It's going bad in front of us.
Well, that's another good point you made there. You know, I'm, remember when I started racing in carts, you know, the signal was always to, I think, raise your, I'm not sure if it was one arm or the other, but you raise your arm straight above your head. Like, hey, something's going on. This is something people can see. And so that, you know, as soon as you put that up, it meant I'm off pace, whether it was your problem or a problem you see ahead of you. But, you know, every cart, you know, once everybody slowed down, they would put their hands down. And as everybody was slowing down, they'd all have their hands up.
Right.
So in the car, the way I signal there's a problem is I wave my head in between where the two seats would be.
Right. Most of our cars don't have window nets, so we go out left.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, just letting the people around you know, that's a great point. And that's a big part of accident avoidance and spread is making sure the folks around you know, I'm also going to be slowing down for this maniac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's almost the same thing as when you're coming up on an unexpected yellow flag, you know. The most common black flag we get in our endurance racing is, you know, passing under yellow. So, you know. In most 99% of the time, I will flip my hand up and start waving, telling people, hey, we got a yellow flag, just to let them know, unless you're like the less than 1% that's a jerk, and I'll just let you pass me under yellow and have a black flag because I don't like you. But, you know, that's like two cars.
We're not naming names.
Not naming names. Nope. Names were changed to protect the innocent. So.
Yeah, you can direct message. You can direct message Bill for the full details.
Yeah, that's right. We're gonna have to play Hangman though. I'm not giving it up easy. So
nice.
Dollar a vowel and 25 cents a letter. We'll get it done though. Not a problem.
Oh yeah, sponsorships.
Like it could be the first thing this podcast makes in money. Woohoo! did we beat that one into the ground, Mr. Dawson?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of these ones where we might think about 10 other things to talk about and come back and talk some more. But I think we hit some pretty basic things. One of the biggest things that we didn't really talk about is mindset as it's happening. But ideally, you want to try to keep yourself as calm as possible and not freak the hell out. You know, just keep driving the track the way you've been driving it. Don't get emotionally invested in whatever's happening. And you know, if something happens and you feel freaked out, you don't feel good about continuing to drive just because you can't feel rattled, it is okay to pull into the pits, then wait for your next session to go, or skip your next session. You know, whatever. It is okay. If you don't feel right to drive on track then or for your next session, it's the right thing to do is not to go drive. If you don't feel right to get on track or be on track, take a breather, take a break. Don't go on track. But it's dangerous to be out there if you don't feel right. I just wanted to put that out there too.
Yeah. I think that the thing I said earlier about trying to keep my inputs to a minimum is accurate. But conversely, if you need to put in a miracle save and you need to put in a big input to avoid it, go for it, but make sure you need to do that. And don't do that because it will be some type of conquering event that you manage to pull this out. And if there's another way, just, you know, if there's something going on and it's two cars stopped in front of you and you have to go on the grass, go on the grass, just go straight. Yeah. You know, don't try and still save your lap, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I did that in this last race with AER. It was my fault, but in my defense, it was a restart and I needed to make up some track position. So I saw this Mustang who was a faster car than us once everything gets going, you know what I mean? But on a restart, everybody's kind of jumbled up. I'm like, well, you're going to wait. I'm going to go. And I had a better run out of Oak Tree. I was going to get a couple of people. And then I realized, so I'm trying to pass this guy on the outside of Oak Tree because I'm a try hard and a dumb dumb. But I was like, oh, this guy does not see me over here. So I see him like blasting toward track out, even though I've been right up next to his door. Like he had to be looking completely the other way, which he was, I'm sure, you know, I was trying to pass on the outside. But anyway, he comes blasting out like his normal track out, completely not aware that I'm there. And I'm like, well, I can either take the dirt road and then work my way back on track and hopefully safely, or I can let this doofus hit me. So I just jumped off. There's no safety or lap at that time. It's either a big contact or a little ride through the grass and safely back on track. So we all end up having to do that stuff every once in a while. It's not the end of the world.
Yep. But if you are going to go for the miracle save, make sure you needed to have the miracle and there wasn't another way.
Yeah, that's right. Good point.
So, all right. We'll talk about this more with the ladies on at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. There we go.
All right. Very well. Thank you, Mr. Dawson.
Thanks for having me.